Coming up on BYU Basketball with Kevin Young, the Cougs get a big wire-to-wire win over the Pokes in Provo. Now it's out on the road for back-to-back away games starting Saturday at Utah. And we're setting the table with the coach and Trevin Nell as our special guest. And it's all next on BYU TV and ESPN+.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is presented by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years.
Okay. Hello, hello once again. Good evening, Cougar Nation. Welcome back inside Studio C in the BYU Broadcasting Building here on the BYU campus in Provo, Utah. It's our exclusive check-in on the BYU men's basketball program. We've got a live studio audience. What a tremendous studio audience we have here tonight, by the way. I think you need to give yourselves another hand because of how great you all are. And we're also live and on demand via the BYU TV and BYU radio apps and ESPN+. Coming up on tonight's show, we will, among other things, look back at Tuesday night's win over Oklahoma State at the Marriott Center. We will play Around the World with JT, Jonathan Tavernari, profiling Brody Kozlowski. Trevin Nell is our guest in studio tonight. Always great to have Trev here. He'll have a run of the game we're calling Ice Picks. More on that later. Of course, have an audience Q&A segment with the coach and Trevin and a BYU Hoops trivia question later in the program as well. Let's begin tonight's program by welcoming in a man whose coaching journey has taken him from Georgia to Utah to Ireland to Utah again to Iowa to Delaware to Pennsylvania to Arizona and finally back to the Beehive State at BYU. He's the head coach of your Cougar Hoopsters, Kevin Young. Good to see you again. Welcome back.
Thank you.
You bet.
All right. Another good crowd warmed up for you, and great to be coming in off a win, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, much needed. Yeah. Guys responded, you know, to a little adversity. It's good to be home, do it in front of the home crowd, and, you know, we took care of business.
It was a little adversity. You'd lost a few in a row. And when that happens, tendency to tinker as opposed to stay the course, and what's the fine balance in between there?
I think you got to just have perspective. You know, everything, sports are so fragile. You know, I think we're three or four plays away from being, you know, in a wholly, totally different, I think, conference record. Even that Ole Miss game was basically a one-possession game. So, you know, you don't cry about it. You try to just keep things into perspective with the guys. You know, sky's not falling. We're right there type of message. And that being said, obviously, we did tinker with a couple of things with some lineups and some different combinations and, you know, just trying to, you know, find that balance. I think, for me, learning along the way is – you know, we didn't face a lot of adversity in non-conference. You know, we kind of plowed through that schedule. So, you know, I think we're sort of paying the price, I think, for that kind of weak non-conference schedule and having to learn things kind of on the fly in a Big 12.
How nice is it to be able to lean on and lean into veteran leadership at times like this, though?
It's critical, you know. Even today at practice, you know, we were putting some guys, you know, simulating some end-of-game situations and that the group that I had, which was a veteran-laden group, made some mistakes. And I said, hey, guys, look what we have. You know, we got five veterans. You guys are on this team right now for a reason in this situation. We got to rely on you guys. And they've embraced it. You know, they've been great as far as, you know, telling stories from last year, but then, you know, just relying on what we're trying to do this year and kind of merge the two.
How much are you still learning from the guys who are able to tell the stories? Because they're new to you, too, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and I feel pretty good. You know, I feel like we've been with these guys long enough now where there's some good trust, I think, between all of us and learning who can be vocal about that, who internalizes things and just trying to pull, you know, that vocalness out of them and shed light with just the young guys and the staff as well.
We'll get into it more in a second with some highlights, but a wire-to-wire win for you on Tuesday, but a wild win just the same because it didn't have the same characteristic from start to finish. They put a pretty good push on you.
They did, you know, and it's hard to keep a lead nowadays in basketball with the three-point shot and just kind of the pace of play. You know, we had some costly turnovers and they got hot. You know, they weren't hitting many threes and we had to adjust to their three-point shooting. But in the grand scheme, I thought it was good for our guys to have to I think, one, respond to where we're at in our season holistically, and then two, in a game like that where, you know, things were going our way, and then mid-game we faced quite a bit of adversity as well. And to be able to, you know, sort of gut it out, if you will, and kind of change course correct in the middle of the game was important. I thought that's where Dallin and Yegor's, you know, collective leadership really stood out.
Also great to be able to rely on a crowd that senses the moment, too. There was a point where the lead slipped and it got kind of quiet, and they realized, wait, it's too quiet. And the crowd kind of got everyone going again to say, hey, we're still in this thing, let's go. And it seemed like it helped, and the guys drew some energy from that, too.
Yeah, I mean, our crowd is, you know, one of the best in the country. You know, it's not just loud. It's, you know, people out here know basketball. You know, it's such a big part of, you know, I think the culture out here. And so, being able to rely on that along with the energy that they provide is a big boost.
Great crowd as always. And you start this, we're in the back half of the regular season now. You're still early in the conference campaign, but in terms of the regular season, you know, you're more than halfway now in. Has it flown by for you?
I mean, I feel like every year sort of you blink and you're like, man, I can't believe we've already played X number of games. Even more so in college, just with the, you know, such fewer games than what I'm used to. So,
right.
Yeah, it does. Every year it feels like that.
Consecutive away games coming up, and one of them is in-state. This may feel like a true away game, but it is on the Hill on Saturday. Important stretch here for you guys. You do play the next two away from home.
It is. You know, we got to lock in on the road. Obviously, the Utah game will provide its own challenge with the rivalry. You know, obviously, my first time through it. Looking forward to that challenge and just that, you know, tradition, being able to be a part of it. You know, this year, I think, having some fresh transfers from Utah, both on the playing side and coaching side, will provide an interesting dynamic up there, I'm sure, along with the football deal that went on this year. So that'll be fun. But again, whether it's up there, whether it's, you know, Colorado, we got to take care of business on the road.
Yeah, Cabe Akeda played against BYU last year for Utah. Coach Burgess, who was already here, was there coaching against BYU last year. And on the flip side, Hunter Erickson played here. He's up there. Caleb Lohner played here. He's up there. Jake Wallin committed here. He's up there. So there, yeah, a lot of crossover.
I mean, for as much bad blood as the two schools have, there's a lot of traitors, you know, going on. But it'll be fun for sure.
What's the right approach for you right now? Because it is so new to you. How much stock are you putting in the rivalry at this point?
You know, honestly, I hadn't really put much thought into it until today in our coaches' meeting. We had some discussion about it. You know, being able to rely on guys like Trevin and guys like, you know, Foose, who this will be their last time kind of going through that up there, getting a chance to win on their court. So, you know, we'll have a good, fun discussion tomorrow with the group about it. But even like, you know, like only half joking, talking with the staff, you know, Nate Austin's been a part of a lot of these games too, and him and Burgess. And so I can tell those guys have a little different energy, you know, going into this game. So it'll be fun.
And one thing that makes it different too is this is the first time in a long time that it's the first of two regular season meetings, because they haven't been in the same league for so long. The last time they were in the same league and BYU was up there, Jimmer went for 47 and BYU won big. And that was when they were seeing each other twice a year, every year. So it's been a while that way.
I mean, I wouldn't mind a 47 outburst from one of our guys. So maybe I'll call Jimmer and see if he can get on a Zoom and get us fired up.
A non-BYU note, but a guy that's committed to play for you. I got some great news this week. Maybe you could fill us in a bit about what this means for AJ DeBonsa. He's named to the USA Nike Hoop Summit roster. It's a game coming up in April, I think, in Portland. What is the Nike Hoop Summit for Team USA, and why is it a big deal for him and for BYU?
Yeah, so it's basically a collection of the best American prospects versus the world prospects, just so it's the best players in the world in that respective class, and they do a competition up in Oregon where they, you know, the American guys will face off against the international guys. So it's, you look at the NBA, it's like a who's who of all the American guys and internationals both in the league have played in that game. So I was talking with him yesterday about that. He's excited. He's played in it, I believe, before. So it's a you know, just add it to the list of accolades for him.
It's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Boozers are in it. I mean, it's a star-studded roster at that age level, right?
Yep.
All right. Tuesday night, this past Tuesday at the Marriott Center, BYU was looking to stop a three-game slide with Oklahoma State in town. Let's take a look back at some stats and highlights presented by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics. Let's look at the individuals. First up, we'll highlight some guys. We'll start with our in-studio guest tonight, Trevin Nell. Trevin, on Tuesday, game high, 18 points. His second highest output this season. Most points in a game for him since December 11th. 4 of 9 from three. So now he's one away from 200 threes. Yes, he's at 199 going into the Utah game. He'd be the seventh BYU player with 200 threes in his Cougar career. Big night for Trev.
Yeah, it was a big night. And I think collectively we did a good job of, you know, spacing the floor. You know, I think our guys are getting used to a lot of the, you know, the aggressive nature of the Big 12 defenses. You know, we've had a hard time, in my opinion, really being able to punish teams with how aggressive they are. I thought in this game in particular, we did a nice job of that. Really held spacing extremely well. I think a third of our shots were corner threes, which is a super high quality shot if you're an analytic nerd like me. And Trev was a big part of that. But I think, you know, when guys like him are able to get going, it's really a testament to our spacing and our overall team ball movement. He's a guy, if you leave him open, he's going in.
And a lot of games we've been able to see Trev get hot from three, so four threes, no big deal for him. Dallin Hall had 14 on the night, ties his season high. A perfect shooting night for Dallin as well. He was 4 of 4 from the floor, including 3 for 3 from three. He added 3 assists, 28 minutes off the bench because he's been a starter. Now he's coming off as a reserve. And huge back-to-back threes for him in the second half as the lead got down. He helped to push it back up for you.
No doubt. I mean, I view him as a starter. You know, he's a guy that's just wildly important to what we're doing. You know, I think the big thing with him, it wasn't even the shot making. When you look at the 6 for 6, it was the timely shots that he made. You know, we were looking for somebody to step up in big moments, and he was able to deliver two big ones in that game. And then, like I said, him and Yegor kind of taking turns grabbing the bull by the horns in moments where we needed to get quality possessions. I thought he was really good there. I just think he's got to continue to be aggressive like he was in that game. Hopefully that gives him a little nudge moving forward.
Yeah, and he's one of those guys, too, that's been through the battles. This is you rely on guys like that in moments like that.
No, for sure. And he's been, like you said, he's been through it. And he's been, you know, great for me because, you know, we're trying to find the right combinations. And he's been very adaptable to all the different situations we've put him in.
Okay, Richie Saunders had 12 points on 3 of 5 shooting. Seventh game with Richie for multiple threes this year. He's sixth in the Big 12 in scoring right now in conference games. And he's also making his free throws, 9 of his last 10 at the line. And we're going to see if this Saturday Richie can get his first stretch of 3 straight games and double-figure scoring. He'd be a pretty good candidate to do it.
He would. You know, he's having a great year. I think he's really embracing the role of, just more of a main guy. You know, I think he's been a glue guy in the past. We've challenged him to, you know, just kind of step up in all areas. He's answered the bell, you know, so far. He had a couple quiet games after that 30-point outburst against ASU, so it was good to see him, you know, finding shots and guys looking for him. But, he's a huge part of what we're doing.
It's a good basketball league. To be top 6 in scoring says a lot about his talent.
It does, and it's, you know, he's opened a lot of eyes, you know, I think in the country, both in the college space, but also at the next level. I get a lot of calls about him.
Kaba Kata was 1 rebound shy of a double-double in this game. Let's take a look at Kaba. 10 points, 9 rebounds, most points in a game for him since December 11th. He's had 9 or more boards in 4 of his last 5 games. He's made 6 of his last 8 from the field. He's top 10 in the Big 12 in rebounding in conference games.
He's been rock solid for us. And I thought he had a couple quiet games in a row where I challenged him and Foose both to just kind of give us more force, you know, play with a little bit more nastiness, a little bit more dog. I thought, again, you know, he's a product of that spacing as well. You know, you got a lot of shooting, you can't guard at all, and that's, you see some of those roll dunks he had. But him and Foose both are kind of unsung heroes for us with how much screening, rolling, physicality they provide on the offensive end, trying to get them to do that on the defensive end as well. But, you know, Kaba's a guy, I think, who's kind of climbing for sure.
Rolled an ankle early in the year, missed a game because of it, got right back into things. Did it take him a while to get back into where he feels like he's himself again, or was he been there for a while, do you think?
I think he's been there for a while. I think with him, it's, he's such a quiet guy. You know, for as athletic and big and strong as he is, you know, it doesn't really match his personality, you know. And so I like I said, and Foose is the same way. Just, you know, just teddy bears of guys. And so you want them to have a little bit more, you know, bravado when they step between the lines. So kind of challenging them there. I think we you know, worked on some stuff today to kind of up their physicality. But all in all, both him and Foose have been really good.
Okay, you alluded to him already. Let's get to Yegor Demin. He scored 10 all after halftime on Tuesday. 8 assists for him, 5 rebounds, 2 blocks, 2 steals. Really complete game. Most rebounds for Yegor since Thanksgiving. He's averaging 6.5 assists over his last 5 games. He's second in the Big 12. Second in assists per game in league play as a freshman. And he had the big, big three-pointer against Oklahoma State to take a lead from 11 to 14 in that second half.
Yeah, no, I just want to give him a big hug after he hit that three. You know, he felt like he had the weight of the world on his shoulders, some of the shooting woes. So that was a big moment for him. But, you know, his passing just never gets old. I thought the first pass of the second half where Trev hit a three out of a timeout thing we drew up, he just can deliver some amazing passes. And I think he's, you know, he's really grown in terms of not letting teams speed him up on the whole. You know, early on, I thought he was just, you know, driving into double teams. Now he's kind of stringing things out, getting off the ball a lot more, you know, in a more timely fashion. So I think he's starting to figure this league out. And as he does that and gets stronger and gets more and more confident, you know, I think the sky's really the limit for him.
You see a pass like the one he made to Trev you're talking about. You see it live, you're pretty impressed. Are you anxious to get back to a monitor so you can watch it again and just see how good it was?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely has a lot where you go back and you have to hit, you know, slow motion and rewind several different times. But again, just to reiterate, I think he's really starting to figure things out. It's a lot different going from, you know, Europe to over here, especially being as young as he is and playing against a different level of athlete. But you know, I think he's starting to, you know, figure things out.
And you asked him to lead a pretty high-level team from the get-go as a freshman. There was a lot of, even though people think, oh, he's an accomplished player, he's done a lot, still a lot on his shoulders.
A lot on his shoulders. I mean, it's, you know, I don't think the average Joe, myself included, knows what it's like to walk around with the level of expectation that he has. Or any high-level player that they're on this draft board, that draft board, they're this, they're that. They've been doing it since they were, you know, 15, blah, blah, blah. I mean, at the end of the day, there's still a human element to it, and there's a lot that comes with it. And I think he's, you know, he's figuring out how to manage all that. I think he's figuring out just kind of how to block noise out and just focus on being the best version of himself.
Great to see the progress so far. Let's take a look at final stats from Tuesday night's game. BYU does win it by a final score of 85-69. Most of the important numbers favored BYU, as you might expect. The Cougs go to 11-5 and, again, snap that three-game slide, go to 2-3 in league. Kind of a big logjam right now. 8 teams in the Big 12 are either 3-2 or 2-3, so a lot of room to move. Let's take a look at some of the more detailed stats, things like defensive rebound percentage, offensive rebound percentage. Free throws are a bigger deal than normal for a team like Oklahoma State because of how they play. And in all of these categories, you superseded or came below, depending on how you look at it, what OSU averages. So it was a great night for you in those more granular categories there.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the offensive rebounding percentage, you know, we were able to get back, you know, over a third of our shots, which is a huge number. You know, I think getting to the free throw line as much as we did was a sign of our ability to kind of space them out and use their pressure against them, which I thought the guys did a good job of carrying over and executing the offensive game plan from that standpoint.
Let's check the team sheets as of January 16th. BYU still a top 50 team in net, so doing well there, that respect. You take a look at last week on the show, those were the rankings on the left, and then you see where BYU is today, looking to get back in Joe's bracket for sure, but in a good spot with plenty of room to move yet here in the Big 12.
Yeah, I mean, this thing is fluid, as you know. I mean, it changes daily. You know, for us, it's about, you know, playing good and getting better every day and trying to, you know, stack up wins, you know, in this league. It's obviously a very difficult league. I think you see it when you look at the scores night in and night out. I mean, you just never know what to expect from, you know, one-point games to blowouts to, you know, hard to win on the road and all that type of stuff. So, you know, like I said, I mean, we're right there. You know, there's a lot of marginal things that sway games either way. And so just trying to keep our guys' confidence extremely high, knowing that we have work to do. But I do like, the way that we responded, you know, to digging ourselves in a little bit of a hole. And you know, hopefully we can string together some good days and some good games.
It's still early in the Big 12 campaign, but more Big 12 teams are winning road games right now in conference play. You're looking to get hopefully your first that turns into multiple road wins here in the short term.
Yeah, you know, you talked about it. I mean, obviously the Utah game is kind of its own animal, but nonetheless still a road game that we need to go get. They just got a big one at TCU. And then hopefully that springboards us into, next week.
After playing three of its first five Big 12 games at home, BYU is on Saturday starting a stretch of five games in eight on the road, starting with those back-to-back games at Utah. And you don't see Colorado there. We've somehow jumped out of Colorado, but they do pop up after Utah. So it'll go home to Oklahoma State, at Utah, at Colorado, which is not pictured. Then you're back home to take on Baylor. And there's also a Cincinnati game. That's who did this. There's a Cincinnati game we're looking for as well. And so that is some of what you've got coming up in the Big 12 with a couple of games that are missing in action right now. But you know the schedule.
We know the schedule. I'll let you reprimand those guys.
That's usually fixed in rehearsal. All right, time for our first break. And this reminder that your day-to-day Cougar sports play-by-play happens on BYU Sports Nation. Join Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan weekdays at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. When we come back, we'll premiere Around the World with JT, Jonathan Tabernari, and his guest this week, Brody Kozlowski, as BYU basketball with Kevin Young continues. Stay with us.
BYU basketball with Kevin Young is brought to you by Siegfried and Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years, and Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics.
Welcome back to BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. Well, tonight we have the premiere of a new feature. Former Cougar hoopster Jonathan Tabernari has quite literally been around the world, from his home country of Brazil to Provo and to Europe, and now he takes us on a short trip to the Annex at the Marriott Center to help us get to know more about the BYU men's basketball players. This is Around the World with Jonathan Tabernari and, this week, Brody Kozlowski.
This is Around the World with JT. And I'm here with my main man, Brody Kozlowski. Let's play Around the World a little bit. BYU Nation to get to know you a little bit. You are a highly rated basketball recruit, but your dad was a football guy.
Yeah.
Growing up, how was that decision to play basketball versus football?
I'd say that decision was kind of easy because my mom was a basketball player, so I kind of just went that route and I didn't really like football.
Nice. You know, the last couple of summers before you joined BYU out of high school, you really made a name for yourself, winning national championships and so on. What was your main core memory from all of the time, you know, in high school and playing to get to where you are now?
I'd say my main core memory was with the Utah Prospects when we won the Adidas championship. That was super fun to be in that environment and everything, so.
Obviously, you know, as one of the top players in the country, like you were coming out of high school, you had whatever school you wanted to go to. You chose USC originally, but then there were some changes. Kevin Young came to BYU. What made you listen to him and wanted to come over here and be a part of the program?
I'd say what made me like listen to him was his experience in the NBA and what he had for this program and what he wants for the future and like having it be an NBA pipeline. So I just trusted him in that.
All right. Obviously, you know, for the last couple of seasons in high school, you were as good as it gets, dominating the game. What has been the biggest difference between the high school game to the college game that you've had to adapt so far?
I'd say just like the intensity, the competition is higher, communication way louder in college and everything, and just like the overall environment.
Nice. You've been a BYU guy your whole life, right? Your mom and your dad. A really big polarizing question for Cougar Nation. Royal blue or navy blue?
I'd have to say royal blue.
okay? And I do have a follow-up question for you, which is, in your entire family, a bunch of studs, right, incredible players, who is the one person that you don't want to play against on a driveway, on a shooting contest?
Ooh, shooting, I'd say my mom, but like overall game, my dad, because okay. He's so physical.
All right. So final question for you is, if you had to go on a road trip around the world with one of your current teammates, who would you go with?
I would go with Yegor or Mihailo, because okay. They speak multiple languages. So okay. That'd be very helpful.
A follow-up question for Dan is, which one of those two would you ask the DJ?
I say Yegor.
Okay.
That's the eggs of his hips live.
Shakira!
Boom, just like that. So, hey, I appreciate you doing this. You know, I speak on behalf of every BYU fan. We're super excited to have you here, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
Well, Brody's going to be, is already great for you, and JT was a bucket back in the day. That's a fun little feature.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, no, Brody's great. And I don't blame him of not wanting to face his dad one-on-one. He's a pretty big, strong dude. I wouldn't want to mess with him either.
We get clips of you there, and we see your NBA days, and the beard was a thing for you, and we don't even think about it anymore because you've been here long enough, but do you ever miss it?
My wife, who's in attendance, definitely misses it. So, you know, that was bittersweet to see that thing.
Melancholy. All right, our studio guest tonight has played 130 games for BYU. Only 14 players have ever played more games in a BYU uniform, and that number will continue to shrink, of course, as the season goes along. By the end of the year, he'll likely end up with the second most games played in Cougar Hoops history, and, of course, he is a winner. 92 team wins, currently ranked 12th. And he's a seventh in all-time three-pointers made as well. It's part of his game, as we all know. Help me welcome back into Studio C for his latest annual appearance, Trevin Nell.
Welcome back. Good to see you.
What's up, man? What's up?
I say latest because we've been doing this for a while. You're a veteran on the show.
I'm a real vet on the show.
How old are you right now?
Doesn't matter.
No, I'm genuinely curious.
I'm 26.
26. That you're like, you're an elder statesman. There's a lot
going on
with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Let's go.
But so when you first came to BYU, it was post-mission. Mm-hmm. Pre-mission, you committed to Cal. Right. We've talked about it before, but just a real quick reminiscence on how that transition occurred to get you to BYU.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like forever ago. It was when Jaylen Brown was there, Ivan Rabb, Kwanzaa was the coach at that time. And so I ended up committing to them. And then Kwanzaa actually took a job to go to Missouri. And then I reopened my recruitment, kind of played the field a little bit. BYU called, talked to Jimmer. So that was a really cool experience, and then committed on the spot.
And I mentioned the number before you came in, 130 games played, many more to come still, but you're getting up there with the numbers.
I'm getting up there.
Your thoughts on being on all these charts, three-pointers, games played, wins, all that stuff.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, it's really fun to be able to, you know, take my experience when I was a freshman and now help some of these other freshmen, you know. It's awesome to have that experience and be able to tell them, like, hey, these little details really matter to, you know, win a game or whatnot. But it's awesome because, you know, when I was a freshman, I was getting told the same thing, and I was like, oh, yeah, well, like, I'll get it when I get there, you know. And, no, the little details really matter, and kind of, like Coach always talks about, like, the small margins, that's kind of decides the wins and the losses.
Great win Tuesday, by the way, for you and the guys. This, we're going to see something you said, I think, post-game. It was a feisty game. A little chippy.
It was a feisty game.
You got teed up at some point for something. This is Trevin post game.
Yes, it was a technical. I apologize. My bad. This is my first solo tech. Like, I've gotten a double tech before, but first, I guess, solo tech. But I think the refs were amazing, so. That's a great call.
I get fine.
Yes, nice job on your part there at the very end. Compliment them. Make sure they stay on your side. Yeah,
yes.
It was a long game, Coach. A lot of fouls, a lot of free throws, and there was a little bit going on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I mean, competitive game, you know, both teams needed a win. And, you know, as part of the game, I thought our guys held it, you know, in check pretty well. I told Trev after the game, I said, you know, me and you were a lot alike when I was a player, so I kind of turn a blind eye to some of the stuff he does out there, and I can't be too judgmental. But, like I said, the stuff like that happens. I don't think either team really took anything over the line. It's just part of the game.
When you were a player, I've heard stuff from your brother where you were in a couple of interesting situations in terms of feistiness. Anything jump out to you that you want to share real quickly of your day playing days?
Don't know what you're talking about.
No, okay. Maybe some show down the line. Okay. Oh, by the way, who holds the record for most games played at BYU? Do you know?
I was going to say probably Nate Austin.
It's Nate Austin. It's our boy Nate Austin. Nate is on the staff right now, and he is the all-time games played leader at BYU.
I mean, between Nate, Trev and Charles Aboya, we have some nice all-time wins and games played records going on.
Yeah, Charles has the all-time Ironman record, most consecutive games played, but Nate's top of that chart with total games for sure. All right, it was just one win on Tuesday. Trev, how big a win do you hope it becomes for BYU, the way you guys won it?
Yeah, I mean, we took some games on the chin the last couple, especially the ones at like TCU and the home game against Texas Tech, but now we're just, you know, stacking days. Like we always talk about, the next day is the most important day. We got to get better. So this game against Oklahoma State was a great one. Now an even bigger one is on Saturday. So we're just looking forward to, you know, practice tomorrow, getting better for the practice, getting ready for Utah, and then gaining time on against Utah.
You've had multiple games on the hill. You've won. You've seen the other side as well. Just thoughts on playing these guys again, and this time having it not just be a one-shot deal, but first of two.
Yeah, it means, like, in the press conference I kind of talked about it, just about how it means a little bit more just because it is a conference game. It's awesome that it's a conference game. It's a rivalry. You know, a lot of our team has played against some of those guys over there. Some of those guys have been on our team before, you know, so it's going to be fun to play against those guys again. But, yeah, it's going to be rocking. It's going to be filled with some royal, some red, but I'm really excited to go out there and just, you know, hoop with our guys and play as hard as we can.
How much are the veterans filling in newcomers and even newcomers on the staff about what this thing's really about?
I mean, it's awesome because we have Burge. Burge came from, like, he was with us, went to Utah, and then came back. And so, like, everybody already understands how big of a game it is. And, you know, in-state games are always, you know, no matter what, it's going to be a bloodbath. It's going to be a close game because, you know, everybody wants to win. Everybody's playing with a little chip on their shoulder. But... yeah, I mean, Mo was talking about their stadium. I was like, hey, don't get it twisted. Like, it's going to be rocking. Like, last year we had a lot of BYU fans. Mm-hmm. You know, it was really fun. So I expect, you know, the Cougar Nation and the Rock to show up again.
I brought up with Coach that Jimmer game back in 2011, and it felt like it was the Marriott Center, as loud as it got that yeah. night for BYU. Coach, you've been able to use Trev as a starter for you, as a great reserve for you. How valuable is it to have someone that you can basically, whatever the role, he'll give you what you need?
It's huge. I mean, just being able to, you know, count on them no matter what is asked of them. You know, as we've tried to sort things out with the lineup combination and stuff like that. But, you know, he really hasn't, you know, wavered in terms of his approach based on what we're doing. But, you know, hopefully there's a rhythm involved with kind of where we are right now. I've talked about it before. You know, him and Yegor and Kaba have a good kind of chemistry in the some of those three-man actions that we run. You know, one of the things I don't think it's talked enough about him is just his screening. You know, he really opens things up as a screener because guys don't want to leave him. And so with Yegor's pick and roll attack and him as a screener and so forth, we found some nice rhythm there.
Before the break, this summer will be your 4-year wedding anniversary. Is that accurate?
You better get that right, dude.
I hope. Am I?
Yes.
Is that okay?
I got you. I was like, wow, it's 4 years.
It'll be four, though, right? Four,
it's
correct?
Four.
Yes, four.
How do you get the
job? We always want to put in a plug because Tatum, she has her own stuff going on. You've got your thing. She's got her thing. Remind folks what her thing is, how successful it has been, and how things are going business-wise.
Yeah, I mean, she should be up here right with me. But she started her own business. It's called the Frankie Jane Couture Bridal. And her and her mom really just built it from the ground up. And it's all about the experience. She's kind of a one-man show, so she does everything from calling the designers, getting the dresses in and everything. So, yeah, she's really the rock that kind of holds us all together.
I should have the website up on the screen, but it is Frankie Jane Couture Bridal. Search it. You'll find it.
find
you'll
it.
Be happy, right?
You'll be excited.
All right, coming up, we will have we're going to test Trevin's top shelf knowledge as BYU basketball with Kevin Young continues. Come back with us and stay around. All right. Just a little change of attire for this segment. This is BYU basketball still with Kevin Young, presented by Siegfried and Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years. All right, we are back with you in Studio C. So the other night, after the Oklahoma State win, you, Trev, and Tatum, actually, were both in Utah Hockey Club jerseys, the same jersey you have on right now. I love to see it. I love to see it. Now, this is my BYU hockey jersey because BYU had a great club hockey team for a while, so I'm sporting the BYU hockey jersey. Now, I did bring my Flames jersey in from home for today and thought I'd just bring the Flames jersey out. But then I thought, it's a lot of red.
It's a lot of red.
It's a lot of red for Utah week. Yeah, so it's up in the office right now. I left it there.
Smart.
I would like to represent because they are my team, but I got to be pragmatic on this thing. All right, so because you had the jersey on, I thought, well, you know what? That's a good idea for a segment this week. So
I love it.
We are going to roll with some hockey talk tonight. Multiple choice hockey questions for Trevin tonight. And a little something we are calling Ice Picks. Yes, he's going to have his pick of multiple options on hockey trivia. And Coach Young, you're welcome to help.
I mean, I didn't get the memo. So
I know. We kind of left you out. And I could go get the Flames jersey for you. But again, I think it's just too much red. All right. Simple format, Trev. We are going to give you multiple choice questions about the sport of hockey. Your job is simply get the correct option. All right. And Coach Young is your partner.
Okay.
All right. Question number one. Starting easy, I think. Which hockey superstar is nicknamed the Great One? Is it Mario Lemieux? Is it Sidney Crosby? Is it Wayne Gretzky or Connor McDavid?
I got it. It's Gretzky.
Wayne Gretzky. We're starting soft. Yes, it is Wayne Gretzky, the Great One. Very good. Nice job. All right, question two. Player shoots the puck over the center red line and the opposing team's goal line, and the puck remains untouched without scoring a goal. This is defined as, is it offside, icing, a face-off, or a delay of game?
It's icing.
Oh, he says it confidently, too. And the answer is icing. It is icing. I'm learning not to mess with Trev with the hockey knowledge here. All right, question number three. Which of the following teams is not in the same division as the Utah Hockey Club? The Winnipeg Jets, the Nashville Predators, the Dallas Stars, or the Calgary Flames?
Oh.
Not in the same division.
I'm going to go with D.
You said D?
Yeah.
Calgary?
Yeah.
That is correct.
Oh,
the Calgary Flames are not in the same division with Utah.
Confident. They did not sound confident.
They're in the, you a little help? That's all right. Okay. Oh, okay. They're in the Pacific Division. They're not in the same division with Utah. All right, question four. Which NHL franchise, and you are 3 for 3 right now, which NHL franchise has won the most Stanley Cups? Is it Toronto, Chicago, Boston, or Montreal?
I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with D.
D again?
Yeah.
Montreal Canadiens? Good call. 24 Stanley Cups. The NHL. Question five. A player goes five hole. What did he do? Trip and fall? Shoot the puck between the goalie's legs? Score five goals or lose five teeth?
It's not lose five teeth. Shot the puck between his goalie's legs. I would say a five hole, I would say C, scored five goals. I think it makes most sense.
Coach Young, how are you feeling about this?
I'm gonna say B.
Coach Young goes B, and Coach Young is correct.
You say that a little comment
to me. Right between the legs.
You
five
rushed the answer. I thought you were going to talk it out more. Yeah.
There it is. That is five hole. Good job. Good job, Coach Young. Question six. You've got this jersey on right now. Just quickly turn around. Show us the back of the jersey real quickly.
I already know.
Okay. All right. So this is Liam O'Brien's jersey. What is Liam O'Brien's nickname? You already know, but we're going to give you choices because they're fun. All right. Is it A, the Red Baron, B, Fist of Steel, C, Conan, or D, Spicy Tuna?
You know it?
I do not.
What would you guess?
I'm hoping for Fist of Steel.
Ah, spicy.
Okay.
Spicy Tuna, you're correct. Liam O'Brien is nicknamed Spicy Tuna.
Steel would be nice.
All All right, which one of these team nicknames? Question 7. Which one of these team nicknames does not belong to a current NHL team? Whalers, Canucks, Blue Jackets, or Sharks?
Whalers.
You think the Whalers? I think it's the Blue Jackets.
Okay, I'm going to go with Coach to say Whalers.
And the answer is Whalers. Wow. Yes, the Hartford Whalers. The Whalers were a thing, and they had a great logo, by the way. They were a thing, but they're not currently. The rest are all active NHL nicknames. The Vancouver Canucks, Columbus Blue Jackets, and San Jose Sharks. There you go. Question 8.
You know, I got a couple useless knowledge.
Which of these is not an actual hockey rules infraction? Elbowing, shouldering, spearing, or slashing? Which of those is not a real penalty?
Okay, so slashing is a penalty. Oof.
Can we bring the choices back up?
Elbowing, shouldering, spearing, or slashing?
Okay, shouldering, I would say yes.
Elbowing? Is that really a foul? Just like, there's no way that's a foul.
No way. Spearing? What are you just going to jab?
Exactly. Right.
It's either A or C.
It's got to be A or C.
I'm going to go with A.
Elbowing is a thing.
What?
Shouldering is not a thing.
What? You can,
elbowing's a penalty. Spearing's a penalty. Slashing is a penalty. Shouldering is not a penalty.
So you can elbow someone, but you can't.
No, you can't.
You can't elbow.
That's an actual penalty. Is elbowing?
Oh, you can't shoulder him.
You can. You can do whatever you want. It's not called a penalty. Yeah. So shouldering is the made up penalty there.
Okay.
That's the made up penalty. Question 9.
What's spearing?
That's what you thought.
Wow.
You take you take your stick and you.
That's a technical.
Yeah. don't go 5-hole with that. All right. Question 9. These fictional brothers were made famous in the classic hockey themed movie Slapshot. Was it the Danson brothers, the Franson brothers, the Branson brothers, or the Hansen brothers?
It's a lot of sins. let's go with the Hansen brothers.
That's a great call. It's the Hansen brothers from Slapshot. Yes.
I thought that was a boy band, so I wouldn't have guessed that.
I can't just run out and say, go see Slapshot, because there's some scenes. But it's a great movie, and the Hansen brothers are legendary in it. There's these three brothers with glasses, and they were getting ready for a game one time. They said, what are you doing? They said, we're putting on the foil. They would wrap their hands in tinfoil to get ready to fight. All right, there we go. Question 10. What is a Gordie Howe hat trick? Is it A, scoring 3 goals in the same period? B, wearing a hat under your helmet? C, getting a goal, an assist, and a fight in the same game? Or D, breaking 3 sticks in the same game? What's a Gordie Howe hat trick?
A hat trick is literally 3 goals, but a Gordie Howe.
I'm hoping it has a fight.
I hope it's C. Like, personally, I would love it to be C.
It is C. It is C. So, Gordie Howe, a great hockey legend, born in Saskatchewan back in the day. He was as tough as they come and as skilled as they come. And so when you would do all 3 things in the same game, showing you could score, you could assist, and you could scrap, that's a Gordie Howe hat trick, because he did all 3 of those a lot. Okay. There you go. Well done. Good job, Trev and Coach Young. Knocked out of the park. All right. When we come back, we'll have Q&A from the studio audience for Coach Young and Trevin Wynn. BYU Basketball with Kevin Young continues. Stick around.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is brought to you by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years. Health Decide. Decode your DNA. Design your destiny. Ken Garf, we hear you. And Brady Plus, delivering the right supplies plus support to ensure businesses are more successful.
Welcome back to BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. Time now for some audience Q&A with the coach and Trevin Nell, presented by Ken Garf, we hear you. Got some fans lined up here in Studio C. We'll try and get through 4 questions tonight if we have time for it. Let's rock and roll. Here you go.
Question for Coach Young. Obviously, the NBA and NCAA, very different games. How has your coaching style adjusted from the NBA now back to college basketball?
I think just adjusting to the style of defense. A lot of the stuff that I see college teams do would never work in the NBA just because the court is a lot bigger and you can't just leave guys as open. You make one mistake and it's usually an open 3 in the NBA, whereas in college, because of the tighter space, and you can kind of get away with being a bit more aggressive.
Okay, thanks. When you say the court is bigger, it's not actually bigger, but the way that's spaced in the pro game, right?
Yeah. I mean, the lane is way wider in the NBA, and the three-point line's obviously
deeper out.
Deeper, yeah. And so it just creates a lot more. It's harder to guard in the pros.
Perfect. All right, question. Yes.
For Kevin Young, my mom wants to know how you can keep your kids so well-behaved on the bench behind you.
That's the secret sauce up there, my wife. So she slaps them around pretty good. I mean, they've been coming to games since they were infants, so they kind of know the drill at this point.
How nice is it to be able to look up, if you get a chance to look up occasionally and just see the fam there?
It's good, you know, especially I always try to look up there pregame and say hi to them and make sure there's enough people blocking their view from the timeout so they don't see Dad yelling at anybody.
Next question, young man.
So I have a question for Trevin. So my name is Lucas, and I'm a big basketball player. I want to play for my entire life, but I'm also a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and my main goal is to serve a mission for the church. And my question for Trevin is, how has your mission helped you in your life playing basketball?
Wow, we'll give a hand of applause for the question. Yeah, my mission helped me a ton. First of all, it just helped me, like, to grow up. Being in Utah, like, people say, like, Utah's a bubble. It's very safe. So for me to go out and serve in Uruguay, it was really humbling very quick, you know. My family always said, like, oh, you're going to be humbled. And I was like, I'll be fine, you know. Like, but my very first house I walked into was just, like, a cement shack. But it was really awesome to, like, serve others and really understand, like, to get out of your own way. That's something that's helped me a ton this year. Like, I've been talking to Yegor. Yegor is actually really, like, a really faithful guy. And so we were talking a couple nights ago just about, like, the whole urgency portion of basketball is, like, you do your part, you trust the process, you know, you go as hard as you can in practice, you work as hard as you can, just like a mission. And then everything else is, like, put on God's shoulders and, you know, just hope that, you know, what his will is also kind of in line with yours. And so you got to just trust and have faith. So the whole urgency and faith part goes hand in hand, both with my mission and carrying it into basketball.
A great answer to an awesome question. Thank you. And finally, sir.
My question is not nearly as profound as his. Coach Young, so you had some assumptions about the college game, right, relative to pace of play, some of the actions you could do, things like that, spacing. Which of those assumptions have you been like, yeah, this is working the way I thought it would, and perhaps some that you're like, oh, I didn't think about this, or this is a little different than I would have expected?
I think the pace and space part definitely carry over for sure. You know, in fact, today that was like one of our huge emphasis at practice, probably the fastest practice we've had all year. So we've found a lot of success trying to play really fast. And then the spacing part, you know, goes in line with what I talked about with these aggressive defenses. I think for me having to adjust, like in the NBA, it's easier to punish coverages, as I mentioned before, not as easy to punish it in the college ranks because there's – you can be super aggressive and not have to cover nearly as much ground. So you even have to make quicker decisions at this level than you do in the NBA.
All right, great questions and answers. Thanks, folks. Let's get to our Brady Plus trivia question. It's brought to you by Brady Plus, providing Jansan food service and packaging supplies. Plus support, Brady Plus ensures businesses are more successful every day. Question, in its last NCAA tournament win in 2012, BYU set the record for largest comeback in March Madness history. By how many points did BYU trail Iona before rallying to win? The answer coming up next. Stay with us. Welcome back to BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. Tonight's And One trivia question presented by Brady Plus. You see the question there. So how many points did BYU come back from to beat Iona back in the first four of 2012? Still a record. 25 points. BYU trailed by 25, 49-24 late in the first half, came back and won 78-72. Next up for BYU, it'll be the Utah Running Utes on Saturday night in Salt Lake City, the first opponent that BYU will eventually face twice this season. This is Know the Foe, presented by Health Decide. Decode your DNA, design your destiny. You see the Utes record there. They're like BYU 2-3 in the Big 12. Cougs have the all-time series lead. Utah won the last meeting. Really good assist team, as you can tell. They lead the nation in assist rate. And Gabe Madsen, a guy that loves the three, Coach Young, is their leading scorer.
Yeah, no, super fun team to watch just in terms of style of play. They really move the ball. But yeah, Gabe, super, you know, electric shooter. Never seen a shot he doesn't like. So he can shoot you in it. He can shoot you out of it. So I think the key is just limiting how many threes he can get in terms of stopping him.
Okay, broadcast schedule for Saturday's game from the Huntsman Center looks like this. Cougar pregame live on BYU Radio at 8 Eastern, 6 Mountain. The game itself you can listen to on the radio with Mark and me, and then watch on ESPN+. And then stay with BYU Radio postgame. You'll hear from Coach Young and others immediately following the contest. That is BYU and Utah on Saturday night. Well, good fun hour. Trev, good luck this weekend. Coach, same to you. Thanks for supporting the jersey. I love it. And being a good sport tonight. Thanks, Trev.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Coach. Good luck, guys. We'll see y'all next week. Go Cougs.